This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Live Your Spa Life Show. Spa Life is where accomplishment and harmony coexist. Now, here's your host and Spa Life curator, Diane Halfman.
Hello, and welcome to the next episode of the Live Your Spa Life Show. Spa Life is a lifestyle that accepts that accomplishment and harmony coexist. I am so excited for our next special guest, Esther Hatfield Miller. She is a survivor of clergy sexual abuse, and she has transformed from victim to survivor and emerges as a thriver using her five-step self-healing system, where she developed to go from chaos to calm. Esther, welcome to the show.
Woohoo! Here we go. Hold on, Diane, we're going for a ride.
I love it. And, you know, we just hit it off, you know, connecting with each other in terms of the chaos. With me coming with my police background, I saw so much chaos in the life and moving from that calm. And I talk a lot about, you know, clutter to calm, and your whole platform is around chaos to calm and the transformation and the road that we move people through. And I know you do it with such whimsy and humor and insight in a topic that can be so heavy for people. And I love the fact that you don't keep them in the muck, that you have people move through so they can transform that trauma. And indeed, what I heard you say about, you know, opening up a can of whoop-ass on the trauma, you know, I just like, oh my God, this girl is amazing. So I love that about you. I love how you've really taken your journey to really support people and to move through that. So thank you for the work that you're doing in the world.
Oh, I can't imagine doing anything else with my soul. Seriously.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a blessing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that we look at is that, you know, you could by default just have them happen in your world, but you design them. I mean, you actually are very conscientious about how you're living your life and what you're doing. And I would love for you to, you know, share with our listeners about what are some of the things that you do to consciously design your day?
Well, you guys don't know this about me, but I'm really a systems girl. So I like the strategies, the tactics, and the processes, right? But I don't give that vibe off. I give the whimsy, fun-loving kind of thing. But one of the things that in developing my shameless plug in our systems, you'll see the five modules here, they're very systematic to go from one thing to the next in succession. And so the strategies tell you what to do. The tactics tell you how to do that. And then the processes is the process to do it over and over and over again, right? And yeah. So when I teach them in our core program, From Chaos to Calm, how to do that, they're like, holy moly, where were you? I've only been going to traditional talk therapy out there, spewing it, rehashing and marinating and all that. Yuck. No, ours is not about that. Ours is about healing and being self-empowered to do that, because I would be remiss with that. So, you know, Diane, I've had like 4 university degrees, all of this stuff, and I put it into my life sifting bowl. So people go, what's a sifter? The millennials don't even know what this is, right? All of this personal development, all this woo-woo stuff that I learned, I kept sifting through it and trying to figure out what am I going to keep? What am I going to toss? So then when I finally learned that, I think you took this archetype assessment too, Sally Hogshead.
Yes.
Yeah. Where's that book? Oh yeah, here it is. About how to fascinate in the world. Well, I type out as the maverick leader, the global change agent, right? It's all that systems processy to do that so that I can serve my people. I have international clientele, Diane, who are like, Esther, bring us the can. Like, what can? The can of whoop-ass. An American saying, right? So it's hilarious when my Polish guys and my guys from Berlin, they want a real can. They want a real system to follow. And
right,
they're getting massive transformation when they go from this to this to this, and then they emerge as a thriver. It's so cool to see it.
I love this because, you know, this is such important work. And I mean, I love systems too. I mean, I feel like it creates the container in order for people to really do all the things that they want to do in their life and have balance and have that really support them. But I think particularly, especially with you working with people who've experienced trauma, to actually have something predictable where something has happened in their life where it feels so out of control and so unpredictable, to actually have a process that is predictable, that they have control over, that they can actually have a start, middle, and finish, I think would be such an additional empowering aspect aside from just what is within it, but just the structure itself.
Right, because that's the actual design instead of living, like you say, your life by default. Who wants to do that? That's not highly beneficial anymore, right? Like many of us, we had PhDs in victimhood. We knew how to be a victim. We were like owning that. We wore it as a badge. Few of us learned how to transition to be a survivor. And then very, very few of us knew how to emerge as a thriver. So that's what our system does. It takes them through this process of strategies, tactics, and process, all lumped up together.
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
really great. You know, and speaking of badges of honor, you know, one of the other things that I think that come up for people is this sense of busyness. I mean, we all have 24 hours in the day, and we can get caught up in the things that aren't moving us forward, you know, whether it's in our day or as entrepreneurs or moving out of trauma. It's like we can get stuck in the muck, whatever that can be, right? And so getting beyond that sense of busyness, I mean, what are some of the things that you do that you get the most impact out of your day?
Well, so I, like Sandra Yancey, have learned her R&D, Robin duplicate a little this, little of that, you know.
I love that part, so much.
Part of sifting. Put it in there and sift through what's going to stick, what will work. So we do this process. We learn this in our programs of, wait, I have a sign because it's on my desk here. Pause, rest to reset, because they affect all of the behavioral rasanas, which are ideas, habits, and attitudes, right? But you need to take the pause to rest, to then reset, right? It's a system. So they learn that. The other thing that is so powerful, and I learned this from, I think it was Marcy Scheimhoff, in listening to a podcast, actually. I was on an airplane listening to a podcast, flying back from a conference I did in Poland. And it was set an intention, put some attention with no tension at all. So when our people are learning to do something new, how to be, what to do, they learn to set the intention, and put some attention with no tension at all. Because that's what I do daily. Bruce and I, my hubby and I, we do that every single day to create the spa life we're trying to live through. And then the other concept, which is really uber powerful, and I think Rhonda Renee on your podcast mentioned this kind of concept of being intentional. You know, that concept of law of attraction. Well, it's so different than law of attraction because many of us can't sustain that. It's about being self-central. And when we learn, when I learn the concept of being self-central, not selfish, but self-central, self-focused, self-me, because as victims of a crime, Diane, we gave, our power was taken. We didn't turn it over. Our power was taken from us, right? So we're reeling in concepts of how to become empowered, but we have to have the self-centralness about us with which to do that. And then I learned this concept from Sandra Yancey, the 24-hour clock. Did you ever learn that when she talks about how she created the 24-hour clock? So I still do it. Our people do it. And they back into and they start with sleep. But it's not any kind of sleep. It's called restorative sleep. Mm-hmm. Right? So when we label with the intention of what kind of sleep do I want tonight? I want restoration. I want my cells to be cleaning out. Because, you know, I'm in chemo. And, you know, we get to choose the kind of sleep we want. Not just the hours in the day. So using that 24-hour clock, but starting with the restoration of sleep first. And then I learned this powerful concept years ago. I think it was from Andrea J. Lee. And I teach from the scar. I teach from the scar and not the wound. Because I can't be a transformational leader. I can't be a healer or some woo-woo person. If I'm teaching from the wound, I'm just oozing along with them.
Right.
No, I teach from the scar, because the scar is that thing where you've seen scars on people's head and they know the story about the scar, right?
Yes.
They don't go into all the details, how much glass cut their head when they flew through. They just said, oh, I was in an automobile accident. It's a fight.
Right.
Yeah. So, but you don't have to tell all the details in the oozing wounded part of your life.
Right.
You tell what, just encapsulate it, you know, containerize it.
Like just enough to kind of have like, hey, here's the details, enough to just kind of get into the life. And then, you know, this is the journey of where I ended up, because, you know, that's what people want to hear is like, okay, how did you survive? You know, the thriving aspect of it that is so important. And, you know, I want to kind of circle back around to what you were talking about as far as being self-central, you know, because I think sometimes that can get lost with people where they feel like they can have that sense, well, it feels selfish and and it's so important. And I talk about this so much in Spa Life about the self-care aspect, that it is it's not a luxury. It's actually a necessity.
Absolutely.
You have to fill yourself up, that you've got nothing to give to anyone if you're not filling yourself up and being able to then come from that place, because you're coming from a grounded place. You are your best self. You're getting this restorative sleep. You're having these things happen. Right?
Of course, but it starts with choice. I choose me, right? And when our people learn this concept of, wait, I have choice? Yes. And they learn a practice of I am and I, how to be instead of how to feel, what to do, is so critical to them. It's critical to the transformation that they're going to receive when they choose themselves first over anything else.
That's a great affirmation to even have. Like, I choose me.
I choose me.
There's such an energy around that. And you know, for our listeners who, I mean, I'd love for you guys just to say this now. I mean, we can just all say this together. Like, I choose me.
I choose me.
Right.
And then we have a practice of putting our hand over our heart, because we know our heart carries the wisdom. I choose me.
Right.
And you press into the me. You press into it. You feel me. Many of us crime victims have spent a generation, a whole world, living outside of our body, not being connected and inside, grounded, earth to ourself, our cellular structure, because we know that the trauma gets embedded in our cellular structure. So when somebody says, and you see them, the first time they do it, they're like, I choose me. And then they put their hands down and they're like, and I say, okay, that was a great start.
Let's do it
bigger and better. And then all of a sudden they're like, okay, and they touch their stomach and then I choose me. And okay, let's keep going. You know, because it's an interesting concept about practicing something. Practice doesn't make perfection. Practice makes progression. Right?
I like the distinction on that. And, you know, I'd like to invite, you know, our listeners who do that. If you find yourself not boldly making that statement, or there's a hesitation, or there's something, I mean, we were just talking with Sandra where she was talking about hesitation, because once you have hesitation, then that's where doubt comes in. That's where procrastination comes in. This is where we get off track, is when we hesitate. So if you find yourself hesitating and standing up for yourself and having that declaration of taking care of yourself and being self-centered, that is something that we want to really look at, building that progression that Esther's talking about.
Absolutely.
And to have that happen for you. And I mean, I remember this for myself. I mean, coming out of the police department and the techniques and the things that I learned to remove trauma out of my cells and out of my being. And it is a process to do, which is why this is an aspect of my work. This is one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show here, is that a lot of us have this hidden trauma in our life that we don't talk about, that it can come from a place of shame and hidden, but to actually expose it and be out there, that's part of the process. And so I don't always share with a lot of people that not only did I have my own traumas that I went through in my life, but that I've been trained to help other people release their traumas. And it's such a powerful work to be able to do, not only for me to support people, but then for them to get the tools to help support themselves.
Absolutely.
That self-central comes back into the equation.
Well, they can't create their spa life if they don't do it. They have to do this first. They have to choose themselves first. I choose me unapologetically, with any qualifier, but with determination. I choose me.
Right? Which leads me to interject in, you know, I would love for you to complete the sentence. I unapologetically choose to.
Teach the world how to self-heal their trauma.
So beautiful.
It's
I love it.
My purpose, right?
Yes.
And it chose me. Like, heck, I don't, you know, I was an HR executive before. I've had all these jobs, you know, all these careers, reiterations of Esther. And nothing feels like this, Diane. Nothing feels like Bruce will say, can we just go to dinner and not talk about whoop-ass healing? No.
Live and breathe.
I live it. It is just so part of my essence. Because it's for a long time, I wrestled with God or my version of God and said, oh, no, I'm a terrible teacher, which I am. I'm a terrible teacher, but I'm a great mentor, you know? So, and someone once said to me, I think you could be a cult leader. And we all laughed because it's kind of true. You know, like, it's just this weird, I could get them to drink the Kool-Aid.
Come with me.
I'm going to teach you how to heal this. You know, it's just different than our traditional model of going to talk therapy where we're spewing it out. And I did that and I got some good work out of it and results, but it wasn't enough. When I started hearing people in our support groups or in our circles say, I'm so sick and tired of being a victim. My life is a hot mess. My life's a train wreck. I'm like, I know that. So that you know, you, in order to work with us, you have to qualify. You have to have gone to traditional talk therapy over there, because we don't have the time and space for that. Our people come to us, they're rolling up their sleeves and they're ready to start their transformation. They're ready to start healing.
Oh, it's so fantastic that you have this platform for them to be able to do that. And, you know, speaking of your tricks and special things that you do, I know you always have like these amazing things that I like thinking outside the box. And I think one of the things I love about that is it has people access different aspects of themselves and think, because it keeps them off guard, how you come at them to bypass the trauma
to then see
what else is there. So I love that about your process and what you do. So I'd love to hear about, you know, what's a children's thesaurus to do with self-healing trauma? What is that about?
I know you would never connect those two, right? Okay, wait, I have an example. Here's everyone who gets enrolled into our program, this is the book that they get. It's a children's student thesaurus. So like John calls and I'm like, how are you doing? He's like, okay. And I'm like, okay, so the second iteration, right? Just like the I choose me. We always know we can go a little deeper, a little farther, safely. Okay, so how are you really doing, John? He's like, well, I'm sad. And I said, you're sad? Is sad the real right word for how you're feeling, John? And he's like, no. I said, okay, grab your thesaurus. And so like, we're going to sad, right? So now, and I said, pick up your thesaurus. Instead of having it down on the desk, on your lap, there's something tactile, somatic about moving your body through, empowering your senses, your cells. And I said, let's go to sad. And what does sad say? Okay, so here's another, let me find sad. Okay, so S-A-D before, okay. Dejected, depressed, desolate, gloomy. He's like, oh, that's it. Dejected. I'm like, say more about that. He's like, well, I was just passed over for a job promotion in the warehouse. Mm. Right? So although the only default word or the lazy word was sad, really deep down to his core, Diane, he was feeling dejected. He was feeling rejected. Yeah, how come they didn't choose me? Why couldn't I have been the one for a $20,000 raise and, you know, job title? Right, so it was so powerful for him to have choice in really aligning with his body, his inside, how he really felt, and choosing the right word to match up with that. Right, well, so that's what a children's thesaurus
is. Yeah, that is so powerful. I love this thesaurus because I always feel like some words, they just don't quite get it, you know, and you need to go deeper and be able to see what's the flavor and, you know, the range and the focus of that. And I think there's nothing, you know, better than the thesaurus that actually makes that happen for you. So, you know, and I know that your pet peeve is the lazy word. So
tell us a little bit more about that. Okay, so if you listen to people, the millennials, all of us do it. Oh, that's awesome. That's amazing. Right? Because you had a slice of toast wasn't amazing. So that would be amazing. What would have me in awe would be if a meteor fell out of the sky, landed on my patio table, ricocheted into my swimming pool, I would be in awe. Right? Even my body would be like, wow. I would just be speechless. I would be awestruck. Right? But we were like, oh no, that dinner was awesome. Oh, that pair of shoes is amazing. No, come on, people. Stop using lazy words. Pick words how you really feel about something, right? Because then it keeps us in the present, in the now.
Right. Well, and you have to actually get in tune with actually how you feel, right? And I mean, I'm a student of this myself. Yeah. And I mean, I've been guilty of coming in with some lazy words. And I really do strive to look at the layer below that. And see, you know, what am I really feeling here? And to access this, and I know just from my own journey, especially when you've had trauma in your life, you do anything you can to numb out feelings.
Oh, so, who wants to live through that?
Right?
But the only way through that is through it.
Right.
Yeah. So you have to go through it, but you need these strategies, tactics, and processes. You need thesauruses, you know, you need things, tools to equip you. It's like we're assembling this construction tool belt of all these things. You know, Rhonda Renee, our friend, she used to be in construction. And it dawned on me, I'm like, it so perfectly aligns with what she's doing now. Because we do construct throughout our entire life. Yeah. We do. We construct.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everything, every part of our life is a foundation for our work, you know, is part of the journey. It adds to it. And so just accessing those deeper feelings you know, allows you to then connect better with other people, for them to get you and for you to get other people. I mean, it's part of that bigger conversation and that connection that we want to have with people that lead to the bigger things that we're up to. So I love this.
And the only way to get that is through care, compassion, and concern for self and for other. It's really pretty simple.
Yeah, I like that so much. One thing, Esther, is that I know that you, particularly your clients and the people that you work with on a deeper level, you know, are victims of such horrific crimes. And it's just, they can really get stuck in that. I know your process allows them to move through that, but can they really create the spa life that we're talking about for themselves?
Yes. There's the precursor to it. They have to choose themselves. They have to have that notion of being self-central. And they also have to, what's the word I'm looking for? Image. Image themselves. Like, what does that really look like to me? Like, when I'm self-healing. I was on CNN. I do a lot of press and media. And he says to me, oh my gosh, you look so dramatically different. He says, I would have never imagined when I interviewed you, you know, in 2007, the first time, just seeing who you are now, who you've become. And it dawned on me that other people have images of us too. So some of my clientele have been in prison, Diane. They only knew how to be in a prison cell. Right. They never could imagine, image themselves, what it looks like to be in a spa life setting. They never asked themselves, how would I be? How would I feel present moment if I could? So when you dwell in the possibility, then, you know, you can reverse engineer it and then work with someone like you to create that spa life. But they need a guide. They need a mentor to do it.
Right.
You can't do
I so appreciate that bringing to light that aspect of it, because it's like, if you can't see it, how are you going to get there? And how are you going to be able to do that? And if you just, and I think that is part of that, you know, being in the box, if you will, of something being, you know, keeping yourself so small, that you can't possibly look out there to see, how would I even get there? It seems so far away and out of context of where they are now.
Yeah.
So to really just say, well, what if, or what if, how would that look like? And let's just explore that, that visual image of the life, because once you can actually see it, then you can walk through and then you can move towards it and start moving in that direction for it. And so, you know, especially talking about like our environments, like what are we creating in our space to be able to support us in that? And one of the things I always love to ask my guests is, because our environment has such an impact for us, is that you have a different feeling how you feel like in your office or your kitchen or your bedroom. They all, you know, elude such a different feeling. What is your favorite space in your home and why?
My bedroom. We have our marriage ketubah, which is in Judaism. It's a contract. It's a marriage contract. And a lot of people put it in their living room, but this is something that's sacred to Bruce and I. I mean, we're celebrating our 20th year anniversary next week.
Congratulations.
Catalina, I know. Woohoo! Diane, after four marriages, I finally got it right. Okay. So, seriously, people.
That's a separate show.
that's the drama, the craziness of being a victim, right?
So, you know what? I got to interject that you said that, because I know we've talked about this before, because one of the concepts that I share with my clients is the clutter to drama ratio. And if you've got things in your space, it actually relates to the drama in your who you are as a person. You have the more drama, the more things that are not working in your life, your circumstances, it translates to the amount of drama you have. If you're a trauma victim, you have so much drama internally that it reflects out into your world and that relationship happens. So the fact that, it impacted your physical space, but it also affected your relationships. And sometimes we don't see the correlation between the drama and trauma we have in our life and how it affects our relationships.
And and then we tend to create secondary victims in our circle that's around us.
Yes.
We don't know better. That's just, you know, the energy has to go somewhere. The emotion has to go somewhere and get spewed, unfortunately, on those we love.
Yeah, I love that you created this sacred space in your bedroom for you and Bruce.
It's so delish. It's just gorgeous. So when we lay down, we get to see our ketubah. It's our contract. It's the reminder of how many shoes I get to buy. No, I didn't say that. I image that.
Because that heals all trauma.
Got a cute, good pair of shoes, heals all trauma. Oh, no, I'm joking, you know.
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. Not really. Oh, wow. So, Esther, I know you and I could just be talking all day long. Is there something else you'd like to share with our audience?
I have a free gift.
Oh, please.
Can I give it to you, though?
Please, yes.
Yeah, okay. They can find it at abusehealed.com, www.abusehealed.com. This is, you know, the backside. It's the free gift. It's the Sexual Abuse 10-Year Triggers Blueprint. So I just recently had somebody send us an email saying, hey, I'm not a sexual abuse victim, but this thing's working. Because it just dawned on me, trauma's trauma. It's like,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and you know, it's interesting. There's such a word around, you know, trauma, about what that is. And I mean, to actually go through life, you know, the amount of experience and the amount of years, you know, people are going to experience trauma in a different way. And there isn't a degree of your trauma is more, you know, impactful than however, because how it lands in your body, how it can affect your outlook in the world. I mean, trauma has so many different levels to it that if you're feeling stuck in your life or you're feeling like things are just not, you know, maybe you're not even fully conscious of the amount of trauma that you've had, you just know something's off. And so using tools like this to move through, it allows you to have the conversation to finally be free of it.
Yeah. So in this brochure, you'll find it actually looks like this because I'm a show and tell person. I believe in showing, not telling, right? So whoever's watching this, it's downloadable PDF and it just takes you through the whole blueprint of how to start taming your trauma triggers. Because in our program, we have the belief and the mindset that if you can start learning to tame the trauma triggers, because they're just like that tiger ready to devour you, pounce on you, and just take you down. Right. It has so much energy. It's ferocious when the trigger appears. And many of us are like, oh, is that really going to happen to me again? No, you learn a strategy, tactic, and process called the 3 C's of opening a can of whoop ass on that trauma. Yeah, you're going to catch the trigger. Imagine you have a butterfly net. You're going to catch the trigger. You're going to reach in and you're going to check. Is that really? You're going to look at that trigger. Is that really so-and-so coming after me again? No. And then you catapult it. So it's a somatic body-based technique where we move through, because many of us crime victims are like this, stuck in us, right? So we have to learn to move fluidly through our body and release the energy so it can have some place to go.
Oh, it's so powerful to be moving, you know, your body, because you think about it, if you're standing still, you're stuck. You literally are not moving, and just moving forward and moving through, it has to change because you're changing you. It has to move and change in some way in order to have that happen. So I know for those of you who are listening on the podcast, you don't get to see all the visual fun, you know, the sifter and the book and all of those fun things. So you have to go over and check it out on YouTube and look at this interview here with Esther, or maybe here on the replay and Facebook as well. We're on multiple platforms, but we will be putting in the links so you will be able to download them and have access to them and have the support in that. So speaking of which, Esther, I know that our listeners are going to want to stay in contact with you. How can they do that?
Whoopasshealing.com. Right. Fabulous. There. Contact us. Just the numbers are all there. Emails are there. Just click in there.
Perfect. Well, Esther, thank you so much for being here on the show and being this bright light. I love your energy. I love how you've just transformed your own life. You're such an example for people of, you know, coming from something that could really take people down. And you've just used it as a platform to catapult yourself into not only healing yourself, but worldwide. So thank you so much for your service in this and just being the message.
You're welcome. You know, Diane, abuse happens in isolation, but healing, oh man, that happens in community. Welcome in.
Oh, so powerful. Thank you for sharing that. That is so, so important. So for our listeners here, you know, I know that a lot of you may be wondering, you know, this conversation, what is spa life and how does that impact and how can you create that? You know, whether you've maybe had trauma in your life or things that have maybe caught you off track, you know, that you want to have accomplishment, but you want to have that harmony. I also have a resource for you where you can go to dianehalfman.com /guide and look at how you can shift some of your environments and be able to support you in that journey. For those of you who want to leave comments either on YouTube or in Facebook, you know, Esther and I will come back around, answer any questions. We're here to serve and be here with you. So I want to thank you, listeners, for being here with us in this conversation. And as always, live your spa life. Bye for now.
Your host and Spa Life curator, Diane Halfman, wants you to know you can download her free guide to start living your spa life right now. Go to dianehalfman.com and click on the link for the 9 secrets to step into your spa life. Now, live your spa life where accomplishment and harmony coexist.
You know what drives me crazy? When business owners believe that just because they're not on stage speaking, they don't need stage presence. Stages come in all shapes and sizes. You're on the stage when you're in a boardroom, talking to a prospect, or introducing yourself and your company. I invite you to join me on a free educational webinar called How to Triple Your Income Through Speaking. Learn the critical ingredients to make impact and income on any type of stage. Go to speakersuccessformula.com and grab your spot now.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. Are you ready to rise up and share all your greatness to the world? Stop playing small and settling for mediocrity? If so, then you need to join us at our eWomen Network Entrepreneur Conference and Business Expo in Dallas this year, August 3rd through the 5th. There will be hundreds of women entrepreneurs from all over the world waiting to meet you to share knowledge, wisdom, and even partnerships. Get ready to be coached by me and learn from other multi-million dollar speakers who will teach, inspire, motivate, and guide you to transform your thinking from small to big. And you can't beat the food and fun at our Saturday night dance party either. Look, no one makes it alone, so it's time to stop trying to be the COE, chief of everything, and step into your role as CEO. There is nothing like the eWomen Network Conference to bring out your genius and help you take action on living your dream. Register at eWomenNetwork.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.